Hello, everybody. Welcome to Seacoast Church. Merry Christmas. Mount Pleasant, can we give it up for all the campuses who are watching us online right now? We thank God for you. Shout out to Seacoast Point Hope, which is just 7 days away from launching as our newest campus. They're practicing and rehearsing right now as we speak. So let's just give it up for Seacoast Point Hope. Hey, I got a quick announcement for us before we get into the Word of God today. We have an opportunity as a church to serve in our community, and I'd love for all of us to play a part. In the Christmas season, we'll gather journey bags together. This is for kids who are in the foster care system. Oftentimes when kids get in the system, it happens in the middle of the night, something traumatic or hard at a police stop, and these kids may not have anything when they show up at their foster home. And so what we're doing is we're gathering backpacks of things and of love for these kids so they'll have something in a hard season. So please do that. You can find out more information on that on the Seacoast app or outside in the lobbies at your locations. Your host can tell you more in the close. But let's take a moment to pray for today. And then we're gonna get in the Word of God. And if you could we stand and pray together? Let's take a moment to pray. If you could, just raise your hands up if you feel comfortable, and let's just talk to Jesus together. If you could, just say something nice to Jesus right now. Talk about his goodness audibly. Tell him thank you for the breath in your lungs, for the ways he's provided for you. Let's pray together. Come on, all across every location, let's pray together and lift high the name of Jesus. There is no one like our God. You are good. You are faithful. And this is a house of prayer. This is not a transition moment. This is us reaching out to you and saying, God, would you fill us today with your spirit? Would you rise up faith in us? Would you beat back the lie of the enemy? The serpent has no hold in this place in the name of Jesus. There is freedom at your feet. There is healing at your feet. There is provision at your feet. And we thank you, Lord God, for this holy Christmas season to remind ourselves that hope came in the form of a baby. We ask you, Lord God, as we study your scriptures today, would you pierce our hearts? Would you help beat back lies we've made friends with? Would you redeem what's been broken in our lives? And would you undertake? We pray these things in the only name that saves souls and the only name that is full of grace and truth, the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, before you take a seat, I want you to do two things. Listen to the two, then do them. High five your neighbor and then tell them the best gift you've ever received. Come on. Best gift you've ever received. Best gift you've ever received. Come on. Come on. Hey, spouses, if you knew what you were doing and you had some game, you should have said the best gift I ever got was you. Just trying to set you up out there. Best gift you've ever received or given. I've been asking some of my friends, and one of them, he said that the best gift he ever received was from his brother when he got his driver's license. His brother gave him a Chevrolet pickup truck. Come on, his brother's better than your brother, come on. A few years before, his grandfather gave the truck to his brother. His brother promptly decided to lower the truck and make it way cooler. And then when his brother got his driver's license, he knew what to do, which was pay it forward. And he got this amazing truck. Imagine getting into a fender bender with this guy with this $4,000 Chevy truck, and he's losing his mind on the highway because you hit into his truck. If you didn't know the backstory, you'd think, man, that guy's doing too much, right? But there's something about that backstory that makes that simple truck invaluable. was talking to another friend of mine, and she said that her dad, before Christmas, would always read the book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And one Christmas, he gave as a gift to all of his kids the book. And when you opened the book, it had a recording of his voice reading the book. And she thought, man, I don't want to hear my dad's voice reading this book, until he passed away. And now that book is invaluable. Imagine going over to her house and seeing the book on a coffee table and spilling your juice all over it. When you're seeing her weep, if you don't know the backstory, you think, oh man, she's really possessive of her stuff. But when you know the backstory, it can change everything. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and I found out that when he moved to Charleston, till now, he's lost 70 pounds in the last year. 70 pounds in the last, he showed me a picture of old him, and I didn't even know that guy. And all of a sudden, in this meeting we're having, it went from just tell me about your story to being inspired by this guy because I learned about his backstory. Best gift I've ever gotten growing up was a Sega Genesis. Come on, somebody. Sega, say it with me now. Hey, it was amazing. Sonic the Hedgehog was my jam. And I got it one year when I never thought I'd ever get it. Because that thing cost $149.95, I remember. I remember quoting that to my dad, and my dad, he looked at me like I was crazy when we'd go by Radio Shack. Now, Radio Shack is a place that used to exist. It was right next to Kmart, which also doesn't exist, and Blockbuster. Pretty much my whole childhood is no longer alive. But it was an epic Christmas. And if you had seen me that Christmas day, I would have looked like a spoiled only child. But you got to know the backstory. The year before was a really hard season for my grandfather, who lived back in Guyana, where my parents are from. And my parents cleared everything they had to give him money for Christmas, so I didn't have a Christmas that year. And I didn't know, I don't remember this, so no props to me, but my parents said that I took it really well, and I was excited to give to my grandfather. So they said, oh, next year, we're going big, you know? And in an age where filling up your tank of gas was 10 bucks, like $149.95 was doing a lot, and that was the year. And so a lot of my growing up with my cousins, we played a lot of video games. And so this past Thanksgiving, we went up to New York. And my cousins are all grown, and thinking about being in my aunt's house without video games, something didn't set right this year, so I decided to do the thing I told my kids we'd never do, which was get them a video game system.
We were going to do this for Christmas, but we decided to do it early, and we wanted to get you a Nintendo Switch!
Yay! I knew it!
No.
It was pretty awesome, but knowing the backstory changed everything. And so today, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1, where we're going to spend some time studying the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And the thought for today is this: it's better when you know the backstory. It's better when you know the backstory. The backstory can change how you see a person, how you see a company, how you see a neighborhood, how you see a nation, how you see a world. And when we study the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there's so much beauty in 17 verses of scripture that we tend to jump over when we're reading about the Christmas story. And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 1. And as always, you can go on the Seacoast app. We've got the notes there. And so let's take some time to read God's unfailing word. I almost made it, almost read it in King James so y'all could feel the pain of my existence growing up. But if God's been gracious to me, I'll be gracious to you. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. That's a crazy story if you knew the backstory right there. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. By the way, if you're looking for a boy's name, Ram, it's pretty amazing. Way better than Dexter. So, there's one Dexter in this room, I'm sure. Amminadab, the father of Nehushtan. Nehushtan, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Crazy story. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. There's lots of kings in the genealogy of Jesus, but he's the only one who gets a shout out with his job title. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Crazy story. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of exile to Babylon. Painful time in the life of the Israelites. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. That's a good name, Zadok. Come on, somebody. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Eliezer. Eliezer, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. It's beautiful when you know the backstory. Understanding the backstory of where Jesus came from changes everything. And so today, I just want to look at five angles on the backstory of the genealogy of Jesus that can help us with gratitude see our backstory different. Because you have a history of faith. You have a history of where you came from. You didn't always look this good on Sunday. You weren't always awake on Sunday. Come on, somebody. And so today, let's look at God's unfailing word. First one is this. The backstory certifies the Messiah. The backstory certifies the Messiah. Matthew, who's writing the book of Matthew that we're in, thank you, one guy. Matthew, who's writing the book of Matthew, he's a guy who you wouldn't pick to be a disciple. In these times, when they wanted to cuss somebody out, they would either call you a sinner or a tax collector, and he was both. But Jesus saw something in him that he couldn't see in himself, and God redesignated his job title to Fisher of Men. And Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he's writing this gospel, he's trying to help people understand that Jesus is valid, as these kids say nowadays, that Jesus is the real deal. He's trying to help them see that Jesus is the Messiah. Because when Jesus was going around teaching and preaching, oftentimes they'd be like, well, where did this guy come from? In this Joseph's boy? How does he know all this stuff? They didn't look far back enough to understand that he was in the line of two central figures of Scripture, Abraham and King David. And so Matthew's helping people see that Jesus is the real deal. And when we study the lineage of faith, what we see is this pure, unbroken line of faithfulness of God while he's using really broken, messed up people. If a priest wanted to certify that he was valid to serve as a priest, he would have to show his family lineage to show that he was Jewish purely. And if he can't trace it back to Aaron in those times, man, that guy wouldn't be allowed to be a priest. And so they'd go to government offices and look up genealogical lines. Very important in this culture. And so Matthew is showing this line, but the crazy part about what we just read there was he didn't hide Moabitess. He didn't hide adultery. He didn't hide some crazier words than that. He didn't hide any of it because in the brokenness is the beauty of how God sent a Messiah to us. And so why is that important, Joel? Because too many of us live disqualified, thinking that if we aren't perfect, God could never use us. But the lineage of Jesus helps us understand that God is really good at doing great things through really broken people. Second thing the backstory teaches us is this: redemption for humanity started with a covenant with one man. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham is a man that God made a covenant with, and we see it locked up in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That's what God made a covenant with Abraham. And that covenant went through the ages and was in the fulfillment of Jesus the Messiah. Why is that important, understanding the backstory where Jesus comes from? Because God is good at his promises. God is good at his word. If he told you something, he's faithful to do it. Can I read something with you real quick? After the last service, I got a text message from a couple. And they showed me a picture of them in the hospital watching the last service, holding their baby. Check this out. Greatest gift we've ever received, easy. Watching from the hospital, we're exactly 1 year out from praying with you over us after our miscarriage. Long journey to get here, God is amazing. And it's so cool how faithful God is to be good at his word, but sometimes we put Amazon timing into our walk with Jesus. Yo, player, it's been 3 days, it ain't here yet. I guess I'll take it in my own hands. How you doing? Tinder, where you at? Come on, somebody. I'm watching you. And the backstory of Jesus reminds us how good and faithful our God is. Third thing, sometimes our greatest purpose is to be a stepping stone for someone else. Woo! And this goes against our culture that wants to make everything about me. Could you feel that rising up when I was reading the genealogy of Jesus? Oh, this is boring. Oh, Azor, I'm never gonna know about Azor. Why are we reading this? This doesn't have anything to do with me. And when we keep trying to make all of faith about me, You're missing out on the greatest growth opportunities, which have nothing to do with you. This is also why churches are at a stalemate, because people don't want to serve. Because serving goes against our terms of agreements with church. It's like, hey, I want to be served, but do I serve? No, that means you want something from me. I'm going to go to the next church. Sorry, that's awkward. I just had to say it. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Why is that weird? Judah and his brothers. In the line of Jesus, we mention Judah. In fact, Judah is one of 12 brothers, which ended up being the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jesus, one of his names is the Lion of Judah. Jesus came through the line of Judah, but in Judah's lifetime, he wasn't the most important brother. Of his brothers, if you ask Judah, who's the most important? He's like, well, obviously Joseph. His dad completely played favorites. So much so that he bought his son a Louis Vuitton jacket and said, hey, in case y'all don't know, I love him more. And Joseph lived his life with favor and a lot of hard times. But the greatest thing of Joseph's life was not becoming second in charge of all Egypt, where his brothers bowed down to him. The greatest part of his life was to be a stepping stone for his brother Judah. And this is hopeful for anyone who's feeling used when you're being used by God. I used to pray this prayer in my 20s. Oh, Lord, would you use me? I used to be the weird kid in the back of the church with my shoes off because it's holy ground. I was doing too much in worship and my hands were just up. And I was like, God, use me. And then you know what being used by God feels like? Being used. And some of y'all are in the middle of God's purpose for your life, but you're about to run away from it because you feel depleted. You feel weary. You feel a little bit abused. But if God isn't your source, then of course you're gonna run out. It's a message for all the moms in the house. You remember your expectation of being a mom and then the reality of it? You remember how you expected like the baby at 6 weeks to say, hey man, thank you for all this milk, man, this is great. You remember when you were expecting like your middle schooler to say, mom, I know you're one of the cool moms, thank you. So don't think that hard times are a confirmation that you should run. Maybe hard times is the confirmation that you're exactly where God wants you to be. Let's give it up for everyone who's exactly where God wants you to be. Times are tough, but you're getting tougher. Come on, somebody. The backstory is beautiful because God forgives and wants us to remember the experience. Ooh, God forgives and wants us to remember the experience. There's a saying in our culture that says, forgive and forget. Nah, man. In the economy of God, he wants to know that you're forgiven, but you remember what you did, where you came from, how it happened. And some of us are trying to use faith to forget what happened, when God's like, I'm trying to get you to use that stuff for my glory. And Jesse, the father of King David, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Matthew 1:6. Uriah's wife. Why didn't he just say Bathsheba? Because he didn't want to cover it up. We know her name, but he didn't cover it up because even though David was a man after God's own heart, he still did some really horrible things. And God still remembered Uriah in the midst of using a broken man for his glory. And the brokenness is a part of the story that God didn't want us to hide. And I really believe this. There are thousands of people who want to come to church this Christmas. There's thousands of people who want to have a walk with Christ. But because you don't ever tell anybody your stuff, they believe a lie that I got to get things right before I come to God. And that is the plight of the Christian, not telling your whole testimony. That doesn't mean you need to overshare everything on Facebook tonight. But as the Lord leads, sharing your story could change someone's life. Watch how Paul did it in 1 Corinthians. He's writing a letter to people to build faith in them. Remember, the first time they met Paul, he was Saul, and he was trying to kill them all. And so he's writing this letter to talk about the redemptive power of Jesus, and he says this, "For I'm the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Maybe one of the greatest things you could do today is say, I am what I am. I am what I am. I'm redeemed and a little ratchet. I'm redeemed and a little broken. I'm redeemed. I still cuss a little, but I'm still trying. I'm redeemed. God's not done with me yet. There's still more to grow. And I'm not going to hide what he's done for me. Some of y'all just need to be honest with your career path and say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know how I got here too. Stop trying to tell people you worked harder than the other guy. No, you did not. You know you didn't. All of this, his backstory, was done so we could be free. He did all this so we could be free. He died for you and me so we could be free. This is the first gift I ever gave Kelly Matthews, who's now Delph. When we first started talking, I noticed that she liked Coach bags. Side note, guys, be observant. She'll tell you what kind of tax bracket you need to be working in to hang out. And so I walked into a Coach bag store because I was like, I want to see what I'm getting myself into. And so I saw this bag. And every store's got the same rule. If it's cheap, they put it low. If it's expensive, they backlight it and put it high. So there it was. And I saw it, and I was like, ooh, that's pretty. And I walked up, and it was $300. Someone said, that's good. No, it's not good. No, it's not good. No. And I was like, why would you buy that bag for $300? I walked out. And from September to December, I fell in love. And I was going to Arkansas for Christmas with her for the first time, with her family. And I was excited and a little scared because I was going to Arkansas. I didn't know what kind of white people they were. I didn't know if I was gonna, you know. And so, her parents are probably watching this right now. Hey, how y'all doing? And I walked into that Coach bag store, excited to pay $300. Why? Because of love. Love changes everything. And the backstory of God's pursuit for you is him relentlessly trying to send people to get people connected back to the heart of God. Relentlessly sending prophets. Relentlessly sending kings. He even tried to text it to us with the first iPad, and he put it all on a tablet. We saw the tablet, and we ran away. He did all these different things to run after your whole heart. And then one day he looked over and said, son, you take off your crown and go down there. And he did that for you. If he did that for you, don't you hide your backstory. Don't you hide the scars on your arms, the failures you've endured. What if those are the things that will actually change the world? There's beauty in your backstory. There's beauty in the backstory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, if you're in the room and you haven't begun a relationship with Jesus, I want to offer you the opportunity to begin a relationship with him right here, right now. Sin separates our hearts from God, but God in his love for us sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect, sinless life. He died a sinner's death so you and I could be free and we could live in this world operating under his power. There's power in the name of Jesus. And if you want that power, all we need to do is surrender. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, scripture says we will be saved. And so right now, I'd love to pray with everyone. If you could repeat this after me for the benefit of those who are coming to God in this moment. Well, let's pray to begin a relationship with Christ. Maybe you need to come back to him. Maybe your backstory is seasons of backsliding, running away from him, but coming back is just a prayer away. Let's pray together. Repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you, a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today, I surrender my sin, receive your freedom, receive your hope, receive your love, receive your spirit. Father, I pray for everyone who's listening to this message today. Could you remind them that their backstory of where they've come from, there's hope in that because you've been relentlessly pursuing all of us. If we can take the scales off our eyes and see it. Bless us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.